going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Welcome to the first episode of the new iteration of whatever this podcast is. Today we have Harriet, as per the requests of the masses.
Hello.
And we have a number of requests that we'll try to get through today. But Harry and I will do a little catch up first before we bring in our listeners. Harriet, where have you been?
I was in California for 4 months.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that?
How long did you think you were going to be there?
Like a month, maybe two.
Right. And then what happened?
Family.
Yeah.
Mom had to go to the ER.
Yeah.
I had to be medical translator.
Oh my God.
For a month.
And now she's okay.
Everything's okay.
Okay. And now you are a dog mom.
I just fostered two pups and they're right here.
Oh my God.
And we are both in love.
I don't actually understand the system. So you sign up to foster dogs.
Yes. They ask you a bunch of questions.
Right. Then they say, come pick up these dogs.
No.
They drop them off.
They approve you based on the application. They make you go to an orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Then they make you sign some papers and, you know, like, I agree to take them on walks. I agree, you know, things like that. And then they tell you the day, where to meet for pickup.
Uh-huh.
And it was in the city near the seaport. And before you go pick them up, you already know who you're assigned to. And it's based on sort of like my apartment size,
right.
You know? And are you okay with two puppies? Because if they're young, they have to be socialized. So they like to pair them up. And so I went with my friend Randy and just picked them up Saturday morning.
And were they in a basket or?
They all came in a van and they were all in their own little crates.
Oh, so you saw like a lot of dogs.
So many dogs. It was literally like, they'd be like, who is Fitch's foster mom? And then you'd have to go up and get Fitch.
Do you think that some of the other dogs were related to these two?
I did not see other little 4 month, 3 month old Jack Russell Terrier.
Oh my
mixes.
God. Okay. So we're both holding one and I have Pansy.
Posey.
Posey. And you have Pansy.
Well,
you're calling her
but
Parker.
But I call her Parker because I wanted Posey. It to be Parker Posey.
And so the idea is that you take care of it until somebody says, I want that dog.
Yes.
But do you think that a lot of the time the foster parents just adopt the dog?
No.
No?
No. I think a lot
of
them
do
this.
Do you get like first pick?
I do have priority, but I have to let them know within 5 days.
Oh, how many days has it been?
Two.
Oh, okay. So, like, even if other people are like, I need that dog, you have 5 days.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But they already told me someone wants one of them.
But that doesn't matter. You have priority.
Yes.
Oh, my God, Harriet. You have a lot
but
of thinking
Reed,
to do. I know.
Do you think I'm being crazy?
No.
Okay.
Like, I mean, no. I think, like, you can handle it.
A dog, yeah.
And this kind of dog could come and be in studio.
Totally.
I don't know about traveling, but your roommates might want to, like, be foster parents while you travel.
Yeah. Also, or you.
Right, if we get split up.
Oh, when we have to go somewhere together. Well, we haven't done that in a while.
I mean, if you get your doggy, like, therapeutic dog status, you know, like service pet, maybe you can bring it on the plane.
They will be the right size.
For plane travel.
They'll be under 20 pounds.
Anyway, so we just finished up our big project in Australia. And I'm back and I'm now just starting to like not be jet lagged.
Finally.
Yeah, except now I wake up in the morning at like 6 and 7, which is nice because I kind of want to be that person.
Yeah.
I've never been that person. I've always been like an 8:39 person.
Right.
But to be a 6 or 7 o'clock person is really like you have
the whole day.
It's crazy.
But do you go to bed even earlier then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
because by like 10 p.m. I'm like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
That I'm already like in bed trying to watch something. My eyes are closing.
Yeah.
But,
what was the best part about Australia?
You know what's so crazy? It already feels like a dream.
That's what Pam said too. Pam really? Was like, remember Pam was like, it feels like it didn't happen.
Completely. Like, it's so far away that like the return, by the end of the return trip, I was like, that didn't happen. Like, the best part was like, you know how it's nice when we do our job and it all goes well?
Yes.
And like you're working with a team of people who are like really cooperative.
And professional.
Yeah. Well, like we haven't been in a theater for over years. So yeah. It was like, that was really, really nice. Just to like be working on a project that was like a piece I cared about. And yeah. Also like have it go well and not have any like stress with the production staff.
That doesn't happen all the time.
Oh my God.
Rarely.
Rarely. Like where can you, Matt, where do you remember has been like totally stress-free costume production?
Yeah, I don't, I'd have to really dig. I'd have to think.
Yeah. I mean, let's think. They made amazing costumes in Geneva, but it was not a stress-free
It was process. Not a stress. It was one of the most stressful.
And yes, they made beautiful costumes in Dusseldorf. They did a good job on Robert's piece.
They did do a good job. And they were actually very...
That was fun. Yeah. That was a fun project.
And they were cooperative and willing to...
Try stuff. And let us like... Oh.
Bless you.
And let us like kind of experiment.
Yeah.
That was good. I don't remember where else we've worked. It's been too long now.
Also, we've done so many jobs that it's hard for me to recall things on the spot.
Anyways, so Harriet, for those of you who don't know, is the other part of Reed and Harriet Design. And we got some requests.
Okay.
This week because I sent out a call and I said, what would people like from the Dance and Stuff podcast? And so I'm going to read some of the questions.
You did this on Instagram?
Mm-hmm. I did literally a story.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Very unlike me. Hi, Randy.
Hi.
Is Jeremy going to be so mad about this?
I'm doing it.
You're going to edit this.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I'm not even going to edit it.
This is just going to be it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Puppies, roommates and all.
Yeah, you'll hear amazing. Background noise. I mean, some podcasts have background music.
That's
so
true.
So just like consider the sounds of people, the background music.
Yeah.
Okay, I took some screenshots of the questions. Question: what is the trickiest area of the body or garment when it comes to making dance costumes? Trickiest
Ooh.
Area?
What about the waist?
The waist?
Yeah. I know, the waist and sleeves in terms of being able to lift your arm.
Yeah, I would say definitely the underarm, because like if you make a garment and you really want it to sit in like a really tidy way under the arm, like you're going to restrict movement and then it's going to distort the whole garment when you lift the arms. So that's always traumatic.
Yeah, so we have to pattern a gusset.
Under the arm. I saw, actually, I was watching a video of myself in this piece I did in 2009, Douglas Dunn's Pulcinella, and all the men are wearing these, like, little tunics with puff sleeves, and the arms function so well. I'll show you, and I don't know why.
And it was one piece.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, like, a vest over a... Mm-mm. I mean, it's probably just like an amazing gusset.
Yeah.
So the gusset is this sort of pattern piece in space that you need to put under.
You can look it up on google.com.
Yeah, look it up.
What is a gusset? But I've also seen there's this like the Baryshnikov and Gelsey Kirkland Nutcracker. Baryshnikov wears this beautiful tunic that's also in one piece with sleeves and like doesn't
perfect.
It has boat neck.
It doesn't move.
No. And like boat neck also is very tricky.
Are you sure there's not mesh?
No, there's not. I'll show you a video
holding
later.
Holding it all down.
I'll show you a video later. Okay, so that, and generally like you'd think a crotch of a garment is a difficult area, but it's actually, it's sort of okay. We've struggled a little bit with like the crotch of a female pant in the past, but it just means like we have to take some of the curve out, generally flatten it out.
Yeah, and I say waist because it's something we always have to think about if there's a lot of partnering.
Oh, right.
So we can't get, you know, too wild with the waist area in terms of
details. Oh my gosh, here, wait, there's a question that came in today that truly is going to knock your socks off.
Why? Oh my
God. Because it's just like, it's really at the heart of like all...
our problems.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Say it.
Okay, I'm not going to do it yet.
Okay.
Eric Trope says, how does Harriet feel about becoming a TikTok star?
I'm such a TikTok star now.
It's crazy.
I like don't even have to do costume design. It's just a hobby at this point. Yeah, thank you, Eric. That's what I'll say.
How many views do you get?
Oh, like zero.
Oh no.
I also post like once a 3 weeks.
Okay, someone named Jennifer Ledbetter wrote, I'm curious about how you and Harriet met and how you decided to work together. I think you talked about it briefly early on the pod, but I'd like to hear a little more about it. Also, what do you plan to do with your MFA? Okay, well, we'll start with the Harriet part.
Wait, I want to say my version, and then I want to know your version.
Oh, yeah. Also, like, Harriet was episode 2 of the Dance and Stuff podcast.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Did we talk about that? Maybe.
Yeah, but it's been 200 episodes, so you should...
In my memory, I think I was just kind of like, I'm in fashion school. I really want to work in women's wear. I'm focused. I don't want to make friends. I'm busy. I have a job. And then you were just kind of like, I'm going to be her friend. Uh-huh. And then you became, you like forced friendship. You're like, I'm just going to keep talking to Harriet.
Uh-huh.
And ask her questions, and I just want to talk about projects with her. And then we became friends.
Uh-huh.
And then you were like, let's do this project together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened in my mind.
Yeah. And okay, so I'll just expand on that a little, because that's true. Like, in semester one, fashion art design, which is like the basically like the foundation course for designing it at FIT, we're like, we actually lucked out. We had a good teacher, Mary Bridgman, and first semester fashion art design, you learn how to draw a fashion figure and you learn how to like develop collections. That's sort of like, that's as much as you can accomplish in that first semester.
Right.
And I remember the final project of first semester is something called the Chanel project, which is basically you design a capsule collection for Chanel as if you've been hired on to take over the house.
And the goal would be to kind of update what's happened. Like interpret Chanel through your own eyes.
Right, which means like you have parameters because you have to respect the codes of Chanel, which are like the camellia and pearls and tweed and chain and the black and white, etc. So basically it's like both a history project, you have to like learn about Chanel and like what that means visually. And then you also need to then say, who am I as a designer and how do I interpret this project? And Harriet was the only person in the class, in my estimation, in my humble opinion, who successfully kind of, successfully did both. You took your point of view, like, kind of as far as you could within Chanel.
Right.
Whereas I did a costume project. Absolute, like, vintage
Sailor
Chanel.
I do remember
Chanel,
Sailor.
Chanel on a boat in the 20s, essentially.
That's your point of view, though, Reed.
It's not.
The 20s.
I mean, kind of. It's not, yeah. And maybe it was really more like the 30s, because it was relaxed. But... you know,
right.
Someone
mine was
else,
like at least 2011
yours
or
was,
2010.
2009.
Oh, 2009.
Yeah. Yours was very 2009, like young.
Totally.
Very young.
New audience.
You were, what, 26 or something?
Yes.
And I just did a costume project, and, like, other, like, I remember someone else did, like, Chanel sports uniform.
Oh, it was collection. Like, yes, Chanel, like, baseball theme.
Which is kind of, like, amazing.
Could have been kind of,
like,
good.
Like, conceptual Broadway show style, what have you. But I think it was after that project. I mean, I already was sort of, like this group of people in our class. Yeah. But then after that, I was like, oh, Harriet's, like, the smart one. No, everybody, like, of our group, I, like, respected everybody.
Right.
But I was like, oh, Harriet has the best taste.
She's the best.
Yeah. Harriet has the best taste. So then moving forward, then I was like, I need to pick Harriet's brain because I still don't yet understand, like, what this idea of, like, point of view is in, like, fashion school. Because I was like, I think I generally have a good sense of, like, what looks good.
What's good, yeah.
But I don't know, like, what I am as a designer, you know? Right. And so it through conversation with you and, like, looking at collections and, like, Raf Simons, the Jill Sander collection from that spring, I was like, oh, like, I'm starting to understand, like, what my values are as a designer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you loved that. You would always be like, Harriet, let's go to the computer lab and look at the new Raf collection.
Right. And I needed to, like, look through everybody's work to start to, like, put together my own value system in fashion.
Yeah.
And I think you already had a kind of subconscious value system because of, like, your own experience with women's wear style. Like,
yeah. And it's something, even as a child, I was interested in.
Right.
Beyond just, like, this is what I wear. It's not just something you need to do. For me, it was like, what does this mean? And what do I like? And why do I like this? And
right.
What goes with what? And what am I feeling today? And what, and how does that dictate what I'm going to choose to wear?
So anyways, we were both together going through school, and even though class wise, we kind of diverged because we had to sort of split our schedules because I was still dancing. And so anyways, but we still continued to, like, discuss and
meet up,
check in about our projects,
look at each other's projects.
And then I designed something for Avi Scher, and Janie Taylor also designed something on the same show. And so then she was like, oh, this person knows how to make clothes. And then she recommended me to Justin. And I didn't know who Justin was, but I'd heard whisperings in the air.
Yes.
That there's a talented young person who's making some dances. Not yet at New York City Ballet, but making some dances.
Wait, and this is the best part.
What?
He mailed us a CD-ROM.
What?
Remember that?
No.
Yes, this is, wow, time.
A CD.
I remember getting a CD-ROM and putting it into a computer, and we were watching his, like, work.
Oh my God.
Old times.
Wow.
Old times.
I don't recall that, but I'm glad you remember things. Like, we could probably find it in our studio.
I'm sure we have that CD, yeah.
So Justin, who was also probably at this point, like, sort of, we were all faking it, you know, like faking, like, what does it mean to be a professional, this or that. So Justin was pretending to be a professional choreographer, sent us a CD-ROM and asked us for our portfolio. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I want to do this project with Harriet. I just, like, made a intuitive decision. So I went to Harriet. I said, Harriet, do you want to collab? And she said, okay. I don't know what you were doing at this point. If you were, like, a senior or if you were started Jill yet. I think you were a senior.
I think I was still in school.
Yeah.
But, like, my last semester or something.
Right. And so we put together a fake website.
Hysterical. I think it was, like, WordPress.
It was definitely WordPress. And it had some of your work and some of my work. And then I asked Justin, like, what's a ballet that you think needs a redesign? And so he told us, and we did a redesign for one of the dances.
It was a Benjamin Millepied dance.
Sure. And I basically said, I explained what the dance was to you.
Yes.
And we redesigned it. And then Justin was like, you're hired. And I'm like, in hindsight.
As if there was someone else.
I'm kind of like, would we not have been hired?
Right. Was he looking at other... Maybe he was putting out feelers and he got multiple portfolios.
Yeah. I'm sure there was dozens and dozens of people auditioning for that job. Which was a pas de deux for Tess and Robbie at the Youth America Grand Prix. And we did a good job. And then Justin continued hiring us. And that was kind of like... And in between like getting that job and that piece premiering, we also did the solo for Andrea Miller for Drew Jacoby. For my roommate Drew.
Yes.
And so that was the beginnings of Reed and Harriet.
When we were, I remember taking measurements of Tess at a cafe.
Completely.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I remember like doing fittings with like Michelle Wiles in like the public restrooms
at FIT. Oh my goodness.
It was really crazy, but we did have access to all the workrooms and machinery at FIT, which was great because
that's where we would make it.
Yeah. That was our studio space and they had everything we could dream of really for making, except we had no instruction about like how to make dance clothes.
Had no idea.
No idea.
We hadn't done stretch really yet.
Oh no. Like I remember like we didn't even do any stretch until after we were well on our way with
the premier costume designers.
Blah, 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 blah. But I remember like third draping three was soft silhouettes, but it also had some stretch in it.
Yes.
Knit section.
Yeah.
But at that point, I think I hadn't yet gotten that one piece unitard pattern because I copied that from when I was working at Oregon Ballet Theater in like 2012 or something. But anyways, this is all details, details, details. There was a period of time after school when Harriet took a job at Jill Stewart and was designing dresses for a couple years. And so I did a lot of designing on my own. But periodically Harriet would pop in, and then eventually when Harriet was becoming a disgruntled employee, I was like, well, maybe I was like, I'm getting a lot of offers for work. So maybe we'll have enough that we can just both do it. And then we did it. We launched Reed and Harriet. We built a website. We never looked back.
Yeah. Well, I remember thinking I prefer the dance world better just because there was more freedom and it was less commerce oriented.
Yeah.
I mean, the dance world has its other problems,
right.
But at that moment I was like, I feel more free designing for dance. And so I remember I was like, okay, I'm totally not interested in what I'm doing anymore at Jill Stewart. So let's like shift this somehow into a full blown company.
I turned
the light on, and so I remember taking a part-time job at FIT while I transitioned you know, making R&H more something that could, you know, sustain both of us.
I forgot.
Yeah. I worked part-time for like a bit,
but you also like you had worked part-time at FIT to pay tuition, right?
For school, so it was easy for me to kind of...
You already knew the people
in
admissions.
Yeah, I was like, hey.
Harriet...
get me back in there.
Harriet worked the front desk at admissions, which meant that people who walked in who had questions about, like, getting into FIT would have to, like, confront Harriet. She was, like, the first person you'd see. And I was often there just, like, gossiping with Harriet, and then someone would come in and I'd just step aside while they spoke, and it was, like...
I love your impressions, too.
Oh, this is how it would go. They'd be like, hi, my son is interested in the fashion design program at FIT, and we were wondering if you could, you know, explain to us, like, what are the requirements, etc. You'd be like, well, you're going to need to submit X, Y, and Z, and your child's going to need to have a GPA of, like, 3.4 and above. And they would be like, well, what if they don't? You'd be like, then you might want to consider something else.
I did not.
No, it was really like that. You'd be like, well, I mean, it was crazy the way in which you would kind of just like dismiss people and be like, I can't help you with that, but I could set you up with someone else to talk to.
And here I'm thinking I was just the nicest.
You were nice enough.
Yeah, that's true. But I never, you didn't. Actually, I never thought I was the nicest. Yeah, I was like, I'm just going to be professional.
You were professional and you would like guide people to where they needed to go. But like the way in which people would come in this like extremely delusional manner, yes. I was like, how does she deal with this at all?
I mean, there are worse examples in that. People would come in and demand to know why they didn't get in.
Oh my God.
And then I'd be like, okay, well, what's your student ID? Your name and social, I'd look them up and they'd have like a 2.0 GPA. And I'm like, and you are confused as to why you were not accepted?
Right.
I didn't say that. So cray. You said it in a different way.
Anyways, this will be, in terms of Harriet and I wanting to like always escape the treachery of the fashion world and the kind of like merchandise and retail aspects of fashion, which are grotesque,
wasteful.
We've also, of course, like run into our own set of problems with the universe of designing for dance, which is a lot of why we've pursued like modes of inquiry that have led us to various fellowships and kind of more academic work where we can ask questions and illuminate to other people like the importance of our field. So, and I think it's that universe and that work that led me towards the MFA that I'm doing now, which is an MFA in dance at University of the Arts. But the thrust of my research is basically about collaboration in the dance field and the points in time when collaboration hasn't been so clearly inside of the choreographer hierarchy, where the choreographer is just in charge of every aspect of the production. So I think for a long time, Harriet and I have tried to participate in the creative process of making dances in a way that kind of transcends what is traditionally, how do I say this? I mean, Karen Young, who's another dance costume designer in New York that's taught us a lot and who we have a lot of respect for, once said to me, you know, the reason why dance designers don't, or costume designers in general, get kind of like bottom billing, the least respect, etc., is that it's traditionally women's work. And so that sort of like opened up a lot of questions for us as to like, well, then how do we shift that paradigm? How does that change? And for us, it's just basically been about like creating our own projects.
Yeah. Creating our own projects, but also working within the structures of the ballet world, and making sure that when we sign contracts or discuss, productions, that we make sure that we're also given the things that the other collaborators are given.
Right.
And negotiating, you know, decent pay.
Right. And Harriet's experience at the admissions desk being a ball buster has been really useful for that.
I feel like this is how it goes. We go in and I'm like, this is what we need. And then they're like, no. And I'm like, no, but this is why. And they're like, well, this is why. And then Reed goes, okay, fine, it's fine.
I know. Oh my God, if you weren't here, I would still
You'd be making costumes for free.
Basic, yeah, completely. I'd be absolutely just making costumes for everyone for free. And I'd forget who owes me money. So anyways, that I sort of answered the MFA question. So now I'm going to go to the question, the hot button question.
What's the hot button question?
It's good. It's really smart. Okay. This is someone who says, how do you get out of, and this is in quotations, ballet proportions, and then in parentheses, making the legs and neck longer and certainly not wearing anything that covers one shape too much. So basically, how do you get out of the ballet proportions eyes when buying and styling clothes? I'm having a hard time negotiating between wanting to wear things that really mess with that aesthetic and have a sense of style and the despair of feeling like it's all just unflattering, no matter how beautiful or interesting or well-made the garments are.
Oh, so...
So this person...
The ballet proportion as in, like, where the, like, tutu tights, like...
Well, basically, like, this person feels trapped in sort of believing in the beauty of like, a fitted garments.
Yeah.
And that is something that Harriet and I have been battling for the whole time.
And look,
it's not like we're against a fitted garment. We love a unitard. We love sometimes a tight and a leotard. Like, there's a lot of, like, designs we've done and really been proud of that are skin tight. However, we've come up against so much resistance when we want to do voluminous clothes.
From everyone.
Yeah.
Dancers, choreographer, directors.
Completely.
Audiences.
There's a kind of, like, misperception about what the dancing body should be wearing. And I think people forget that, like, the costume can offer more than just, like, a kind of outline of the body.
Yeah. It can enhance movements. It can enhance... Yeah, with space. Sometimes a costume needs space.
Yeah, and also, like, many fabrics totally lose their life if you try to bring it too close to the body. So...
Also, it's so limiting to only work within that silhouette.
Right.
There are so many fabrics out there that can tell its own story.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be so limiting if we only used stretch.
Totally.
Spandex all the time.
And, you know, in terms of relating this idea to the universe of fashion and style and trying to dress yourself in ways that deviate from kind of like ballet aesthetics, just start looking towards people, like really stylish people who like understand how to wear bags, who understand how to wear clothes with volume. And like, the truth of the matter is that like, wearing really, it's sort of counterintuitive because like a lot of thin people think like, oh, I should dress to like show my body. But I feel like when you wear clothes that sit away from the body, for in many situations, like, I think you'll be enhanced, you'll, I don't know how to say this. How should I say this, Harriet?
Well, when there's more fabric to work with and there's space, you can enhance different aspects of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's not just an outline of your body. It, mm-hmm. You can really play around with proportions.
Right.
And in that way, it can make you look taller, longer, slimmer.
Yeah.
Or not, if that's not what you want to go for.
Well, I also think there's a kind of misunderstanding about like bigger bodies and how you dress a bigger body, because some people might think like, oh, you should like put really like spacious garments on bigger bodies, but often that's not the case. Like sometimes with bigger bodies, it's really nice to just show the shape of it and like
right.
bring the fabric really close to the body and like have sort of less bulk around it.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't find that to be the case. And in dance costumes, when you think about like various designs that have been really successful for us and others, like I think immediately about like Pictures at an Exhibition by Adeline Andre. And those are sacks. They're just tent smocks.
And they're beautiful.
They're so beautiful. Unlike all you really see are like limbs. You just see some legs and you see some arms.
So effective.
Really good. Anyways, I think like your question is wrapped up in a lot of like psychology and self-acceptance questions. And I think if you can look towards people like Yayoi Kusama and like people who really understand how to like utilize bigger volumes, then like, I think you can get excited about that.
I think. Yeah. And on a more sort of practical, applicable level, when you're wearing volume, details can really change the garment or how you look. So look at the neckline of the piece.
Mm.
What neckline works for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a boat? Is it a big scoop? Do you want a little bit of shoulder? So things like the neckline and the where the sleeves hit and the length of the garment really can change a lot of things. It's a lot about proportion and cut. But that's what makes it more fun and versatile.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Did we sort of answer
that question? Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's also a complicated question for us because it's factored so much into some various miseries in our own job.
True. Yeah. Who's someone she can follow or look at?
Well, I think the Comperette people.
Yes.
And gorgeous. What are the clothes that Frances models for?
Yes.
What are those called?
I believe it's a Vietnamese American designer. I don't remember the name.
I'll find it.
You'll find it and post it on Dance and Stuff.
Yeah. But look up Frances Chung on Instagram and then look for images of her where she's like not in a leotard but in like a dress. And then you'll find the designer. Also, Adetache is no longer a label, but certainly Mona understood like how to put volume on the female body.
Maria Cornejo.
Oh, for sure. Maria Cornejo is like an expert in like the sack dress.
Yeah.
Also, it's just left my mind. Can't recall. Anyways, there's lots of labels out there that do a nice, a big garment. Okay. There's another thing from, sorry, I'm taking a little pause. My brain has stopped working. What time is it? 7:51.
Wow.
This is from Tutu Celeste, who's Emma Wang.
Hi, Emma.
Emma, maybe one day you can teach us how to make a tutu.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be fun.
We don't know how to do that. Okay, hello, love your show. I started listening because of my interest in costumes when you were on the Kimberly Falker. I would, what is that show called? That's another podcast I don't think Kimberly's doing anymore. I would love a deeper dive into your brain and Harriet's. I'm also a parent of a high school dancer headed to a college dance program in 2022. She's done Juilliard Summer multiple times. Love a deeper dive into that, as you mentioned, a student you're working with there, or college programs for modern contemporary dance in general. Lastly, anything with James Whiteside is delightful, obviously. And then I remember Jack saying how NYC was the center of the dance world. Made me think how training there seems to be a good direction. Well, that's for sure. Yes, James is amazing.
NYC does feel like the center of the dance world. And
there's like, if you think about being anywhere else, there's like, we're unemployed.
It does feel that way.
I mean, maybe if we were in London, maybe we'd have a job.
Oh, wait, of the entire world?
Yeah, no, in the United States, obviously.
In the United States.
Sending your child to Juilliard is great. They have really like comprehensive dance training. And then picking our brain. Well, we just dove so deeply into our brains about costumes. We already did it. Well, but thank you for writing in. Thank you, Tutu Celeste. Follow Tutu Celeste on Instagram, everybody. Okay, now there's one more thing.
Okay.
Okay, it's a voice memo, and I'm just going to play
it. Love that.
Yeah, it's great. They sent to Dance and Stuff. Here we go.
Wait, can I say Garen Scribner?
Uh-huh.
Sent me a voice memo trying to convince me to keep these puppies. Isn't that hilarious? He was like, he couldn't even write it down. He was like, I have to send a voice memo about it.
No, you have to. I know he's right, though. Okay, here's the voice memo. You ready? Are we still recording? Yeah.
Hey, Reed.
Hey, Reed.
We were just thinking about your question, and
Yes. Classic staples that every man and woman needs in their wardrobe.
That would work too. Also, anything cooking is gonna be good. What else?
And also anything related to your facial regime.
Yes.
Very inspiring.
Yes. Any kind of like skincare line. Also like physical journeys, pandemic gym, something, you know, all that. What else?
Sausages.
Right. Do you eat sausages?
Uncured. They're like really good. Like tasty.
Right. I don't ever think I've had a cured sausage. Anyway, we just had these really amazing Cremonelli minis.
So good. But get the peppercorn. They're better than the original.
Right. Chipotle is good, too. But you know what? In a pinch, the original will do. I don't know. We would just want to listen to you talk about anything.
And stuff. Miss you. Love you.
Bye.
I think we both eat sausages.
I know. I rarely eat a sausage.
What?
This is from Aaron and Steve.
Do I know them?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't recognize the voices.
Aaron and Steve, thank you for all the amazing questions. Let's start with your first question about staples that you need in your wardrobe.
I mean,
God, anything goes these days.
A definite, as a woman, like, you need one voluminous dress. Black, like a tent dress, a bag dress.
What's it for?
Anything. I've just worn it to beach weddings. I've worn it to premieres.
I know this dress?
I've worn it to...
Is this the one with the, like, leg of mutton sleeves, kind of?
No. I have one that's... I think I have more than one. But they're so versatile. You can tie something around the waist if you want.
Hmm.
It can be casual or... dressed up.
Okay, so one
kind of voluminous
lightweight black sack dress.
Yep. That you can just like fold up.
This is
into
literally
your...
staples of a witch's wardrobe.
That you can just crumple up into your suitcase and it takes no space.
Uh-huh.
What's yours?
Staples. The staples of my wardrobe are Uniqlo socks and Uniqlo briefs. Okay, so that's where you start. Then, for the winter time, I literally have Uniqlo Heat Tech long sleeves and then, like, a assortment of plain crew neck t-shirts in neutral colors. Okay, then I have, in terms of pants... You're going to go ahead and find that I wear sweatpants almost every day.
I was going to say that was my next thing.
Sweatpants.
You need a sweatsuit.
You absolutely need...
Like a nice one.
You need sweatpants that you can wear outside and not have people be like, that person is going to the gym or that person is going... Or that person is going to eat a bagel. You know?
I wear sweatpants on all dates.
Oh my God. I generally pull it together to put on a pair of cotton pants.
Like, I look very cute, Reed.
Woven pants.
I look very cute in
I'm
my
sure
sweatpants.
I'm sure you do, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I, for a date, I would definitely put on a pair of wovens with a, well, probably with an elastic waist, to be honest.
Exactly.
But for my wardrobe is largely navy blue. And so that makes things really easy. I guess that's... Oh, and I love for, like, slightly special occasions or, like, a beachy day. Uniqlo women's blouses in large sizes are amazing for men who don't want to feel like they're in a play about Wall Street.
Like, yeah, they are good.
I don't want to wear just, like, a cotton button-up.
I could never imagine... I would... If you showed up... like that, I would think that you were not okay. Like something happened.
Something's off.
Yeah.
It's happened. I've put them on underneath like a jacket for a premiere or something.
Yeah, but underneath like a billowy jacket.
Sometime. I mean, I've pulled out the Jill Sander from time to time.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah, but no, I've definitely moved more into like this vaguely like Eileen Fisher mode in the last few years.
And I've really moved into sweatsuit mode.
Mm-hmm.
Sweatpant with tee.
So I don't know if any of that was particularly helpful. I mean, we couldn't give you, like, the Donna Karan list and say, like, you must have a bodysuit or, you know, something ridiculous like that.
No.
I don't wear jeans.
I do like a good denim.
You do?
Yeah. Levi's.
I never... Are they black? Do you wear jeans?
I have black denim. Yep.
But you don't have blue denim jeans.
I have one blue denim from Creatures of Comfort.
Uh-huh.
Also spacious.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, even my denim is black and Levi's is the best.
I don't have jeans. I do like to do an extreme high-low at basically all times. Like I like to wear like basically everything Uniqlo or thrift store and then have on like... It's hard for me to find, like, a jacket that's not $500.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, actually, and actually the newest thing I'm doing is don't buy anything.
Don't buy, literally.
Just wear what you have.
Don't buy any clothes
Don't
anymore.
Buy any clothes. Just wear what you have till it's shredded.
All of my clothes are now absolute cobwebs.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to go.
So, anyways.
I want to talk about skincare.
Oh, let's talk about skincare.
Isn't that their question?
That's the next question, yeah. I'll go first because it'll be brief. So, I don't do a lot in the way of cleansing. I have, like, an exfoliating thing from Trader Joe's that I do every few days. Otherwise, I just, like, rinse my face in the shower occasionally. Like, I'll let the body soap sort of sneak up onto my face if I'm feeling particularly oily. Then I put on my neem oil from the Ayurvedic spa Pratima. And that has been my go-to for many years. And I've been cutting it with hyaluronic acid lately that I get from The Ordinary.
Love The Ordinary.
And I learned about a product called niacinamide.
I use that too now.
So I just ran out, but I am also going to keep using it because I think it works.
I think it works too.
It evens out your skin, gets rid of dark circles to a point. And then, so that's kind of it. And then if I'm feeling like I need a semi-resurfacing, I'll break out the P50, which seems is probably going to last me forever. It's an expensive product, but...
Biologique
Recherche. Mm-hmm. So that's just an every now and then. And then if I need an eye cream, like if I'm going out and I need to look extra fresh, I put on my Ole Henriksen Banana Bright eye cream that I went online and they told me that it was like the most popular eye cream is for us. So
does it work? Do you think it works?
It's slightly tinted.
Yes.
In this like a little mm-hmm. yellowy mode. So it brightens the under eye and it does work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with that eye cream too, because there's a brand called Tatcha.
Mm-hmm.
It's a San Francisco based brand that I discovered recently. It's been around, but I discovered it recently and I use their Pearl eye cream for the day.
Oh my god.
Which
Pearl.
Is also has a bit of tint. Tatcha Pearl Illuminating Eye Treatment is kind of like that, has a little bit of tint and it works.
What color is it when you open the thing?
There are three shades.
No.
So I have the lightest shade, I believe. I don't know. I don't know which one I have. It's either the middle or the light shade, but it brightens up your under eye, but it also is just the fastest thing to put on when you wake up, when you don't want to wear anything else.
Mm.
And it just like makes you look fresh.
Mm.
But other than that, I do a cleanse.
What do you do for
cleansing? I have a Kiehl's wash, the gentle cleanser.
Is it just creamy?
It's just soapy. It's not creamy.
Does it foam?
Like no, that? It's like a soap.
Okay.
Like a jet, like a hand soap.
And when you
texture.
Use it, do you feel like stripped?
No, it just feels gentle.
Okay.
So I use that, or I also do, I like Cetaphil cleanser, which is also gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Gentle cleansers. I always do a toner.
Really?
Witch Hazel.
My God.
Thayer's.
Old school.
Old school.
That's burns.
It doesn't burn.
Oh, interesting. Do you use
There's
like,
no alcohol in it. That's why it's
use
nice.
A cotton pad?
Mm-hmm. Just swipe it around.
I'm amazed. Does this happen once a day?
Twice a day.
Toner.
Morning and night.
Wow.
And then...
What does toner do?
I feel like it adds a little bit of moisture back, but also like takes off any remnants of
residue.
Like, yeah, anything left over.
Oh.
And then I do... now I've been doing retinol and niacinamide.
Right.
The Ordinary retinol and niacinamide.
Ordinary retinol. Mm-hmm. Is that in a also vial, like
mm-hmm.
squeeze?
Exactly.
Do they have it in do they have it in varying strengths?
I believe they do. I think mine's like 2%.
Maybe I'll do that.
And then...
I always like get excited and then I have like 10 products and then I'll, like within a week I'm back down to just the same old...
You know, I go through phases too. This routine I'm telling y'all about right now is recent.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be
You've had some time on your hands.
Exactly. This is what California does to you.
Yeah.
4 months in California. But
your skin looks great.
I think it does too,
yeah.
Actually. People are like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's the expensive things I'm buying. Except The Ordinary.
But also I think just like being rested and...
Yeah, that's
not,
true.
Not like super stressed out, eating well. Those things also. Like
I will say in California, I was having 3 Korean home-cooked meals, which probably does it.
I like basically didn't work for a year, and then I went to Australia, and I suddenly like was working and socializing in like a normal way without masks, and everything was normal. And then immediately I was like exhausted, got a cold sore, had zits. Like
You did get a cold sore.
It was immediate. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is normal.
Doesn't that make you want to kind of reevaluate what you were doing before? And then even after the pandemic, don't you kind of...
I don't know.
Oh, you're like, I just want to go back to that.
Well, no, I mean, I do realize that right now I don't have like a lot of stamina for work.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to like build up to being able to work again a little.
Oh, okay. You feel like you've gone too far the other way.
Well, yeah, because like...
You couldn't handle Australia.
Like over the course of the pandemic, there was like many days where like where I wouldn't leave my house.
Yeah.
And I also would just like watch 3 movies.
But weren't you also doing school?
Yeah. Sometimes I had school. There was like condensed periods of time where I had school. You know how, like, when things are normal for us, we're literally running around from, like, 9:30 in the morning to, like, 7 at night, and then I go to a show.
Yeah, and I think that's unhealthy.
Right. It's probably not a way to live forever.
No.
No. And I actually saw this really old Italian man on YouTube today who appeared on Pasta Grannies, which is this amazing YouTube series. Where, like, incredibly old Italian women make their, like, favorite home pasta.
Oh.
And this 101-year-old woman was doing it. So they talked to, like, the 101-year-old man who also lives in the neighborhood. And they're like, what's the secret to your longevity? And he was like, just take it slow.
Balance. Yeah. Take it slow.
Take it slow. So.
Reed is, you are an incredible worker.
Well. I'm somewhere... Like, medium high. Like, Jeremy is an incredible worker, you know?
I don't know Jeremy's life enough to comment,
he
but...
He can, like, wake up at dawn and, like, work until sundown and, like, work the whole time.
But he's just, like, sitting.
He's often sitting, yeah. We're doing a lot of
running around. You're like, let me carry 20-pound bags uptown.
I'm a schlepper.
Reed can schlep and... be quicker than everybody else.
I would have been an amazing like messenger assistant type person.
Oh, incredible. Cause you're the person who you see that subway door close and you make it.
Oh, I'll run.
Every time.
I'll run. Do you know the story about how when I was at some reception for Shenwei on the Upper East Side on Central Park East, and there's that N train up there by the FAO Schwartz. And I was like, I gotta get on the train. It was wet outside and I was wearing these like boots that I still have that I rarely wear. They're very heavy. They're Durango boots. They're like ankle height. Mm-hmm. They're very nice looking.
I've seen them.
They're good. Yeah. So I ran down the stairs and I was like, I went through the turnstile. The doors of the train were closing and I started to like hydroplane.
Mm-hmm.
And I slid across the platform and one leg stepped into the train, mm-hmm. and the other leg fell into the crack.
No.
Yeah. So the other leg fell all the way down, and then if you can imagine...
I was going to say, like, how are you not injured at
Well, the point? One foot that was standing in the train became, like, my thigh was against my chest. So, yeah.
Yes.
So my height, I immediately, like, went down 3 feet,
uh-huh.
and the people on the train were looking at me like, what is happening?
Were you like, I die today?
I was like, if the train started moving now, I would absolutely lose a leg. I'd be dead. So somehow I just, like, used my, like, hamstring strength, and I just, like, pushed my body up and got my leg out of the crack and stepped into the train, and people were like...
Were they like...
I don't know that people clapped, but they were like, you're stupid.
I mean, they're not totally wrong.
You're stupid.
The worst thing I've done is I saw the subway doors closing and I threw my bag.
No.
Yes. I threw it and the bag got caught in the doors and it opened.
And you were not holding it anymore.
Oh, no, I was holding it, but I, swung it. Oh,
my God. I thought you meant that you just, threw it. Oh, I was what if it had gone in?
No. It was a kind of a long tote, so I just, because I was like, I can't make it with my feet. I'm not going to make it. So I swung, for length.
That's incredible.
I swung it, but, and it opened, but.
I one time dropped a book into the tracks accidentally. I was just reading it, and then I was, I don't know, swinging my arm, or I don't know what I was doing, but I suddenly dropped a book into the track.
Oh my God. And you
I didn't even think. I just jumped down and got it and jumped right back out.
Yeah, you would.
I lost my mind.
You would be great in a zombie apocalypse, which is what I tell you all the time.
I know. I mean,
because you are action. You are action. You are fast. You can carry things.
It's true. I don't actually want to I want to just, keep running, kind of, but I don't want to, I don't want to deal with people.
What do you mean? Killing?
Well, that, but I'm not talking about the zombie apocalypse anymore. I'm just talking about, the part when, someone says, I kind of don't like this or that, and I'm like...
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I wish Harriet was there.
Because I'm just well...
You're like...
Well, it depends. It depends on why or,
Yeah, you tend to be able to divorce your feelings from the thing pretty quickly, which is something I'm getting better at. And Jennifer Tipton and helped me. Remember the one day when mm-hmm. we were how do you deal with things when people disrupt your plans or tell you they don't like what you're doing? She was like, I change it. And I was like,
I know. Yeah.
Anyways, but it's true. At the end of the day, it's just dance and it's just clothes and you can change it.
It's just dance. And at the end of the day, it's okay, so you want a different shirt. Who cares?
No one cares.
Who cares?
Except I have cared.
We used to care a lot when we first started. We cared so much. And even
beyond.
Well, you're right. You're right. But I feel lately, in the past few years, I've been very much
Whatevs. Totes. Whatevs.
Whatevs.
And now with pandemic, it's super oh, whatever.
Oh my goodness. It's one of our jobs recently was so sure.
Oh, I don't even know what you're talking
about. That was our answer to everything. I've probably
forgotten what it is.
We were just oh, you want to add something? Sure.
Oh my God, I can't wait to... Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, amazing. Okay, well anyways, that was an hour.
Wow, are you really going to just play this whole thing?
Yeah.
Amazing. It is pandemic. What else are you
literally
doing?
Literally, the fact that there's going to be a podcast on Friday is
a miracle.
Also, everybody, if you want podcast recommendations, I'm listening to Celebrity Book Club right now with Lily Murata and her friend Steven something, and it's so funny. It's LOL funny, funny, funny.
Oh, I don't know this one.
Oh, yeah. It's my new fave.
Okay.
Seek Treatment continues to be funny. We're glad they're back.
They're back.
They're back and better than ever.
I'm listening. It's great.
Follow Catherine Cohen on Instagram. She's in quarantine in Canada being really funny. Any other recommendations? I'm watching It's a Sin on HBO, which is very good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll start that.
Except that Neil Patrick Harris is in episode one, and I...
Not your fave.
I can't deal with him.
Yeah, not my fave either.
But it's okay. He's only in one episode. It's just a shock that even on a British television show, he pops up. Anyways, what are you watching?
I just finished I May Destroy You.
Oh.
Did you watch that?
I didn't finish it, but it's really good.
It's really good. So you guys already talked about it.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's very good. It's triggering.
Yeah.
Can be triggering, but it's very good and well done. And I watched the, Godzilla and...
What?
Kong, you fight. Did?
What?
The movie that came
you
out.
You did?
Yeah.
Why?
It's fun.
Really? Was anyone in it we know?
Millie Bobby Brown.
That's... Who's... Is that Whitney Houston's child? No. I don't know who this is.
Stranger Things. 11.
Oh, 11. Okay. Her name's Millie Bobby Brown?
Is it not?
Je ne sais pas. I don't know.
Kyle Chandler,
the
daddy.
We love Daddy Chandler.
Right?
Yeah.
He just does it.
He looks great in every... He's got a movie face.
He's a movie face, hot daddy vibes.
Yeah.
Dad bod vibes, all of it. Who else is in it? There's like some famous
people. Should I watch it?
I mean, I'm not actually like, this is an amazing movie, but you know, it's just like easy, fun times.
I've been sleeping my way through The Falcon and The Winter Soldier, which is like, you don't have to bother with it, but
I'm not.
I basically didn't see it.
Yeah, you just turn it on to sleep.
But there's an actor in it who plays like the new Captain America, because they like, the like government sort of is like, and this is the new Captain America, and it's this guy who I remember from a Black Mirror episode, and he's kind of like amazing at this character, because he has to play, you have to kind of like him and then like not like him, because he's emotionally disturbed, and he's really good.
Mm.
Yeah,
what's the actor's name?
I don't know. Okay. someone we don't know his name.
Okay,
well, thank you for tuning in. Harriet will be back, I'm sure. She's the only person I see. And
I have to be back. That's it.
You have to be back. Send more questions for Harriet and Reed. And
should I adopt this puppy? Let me know.
Oh my God. They're sleeping on the bed right now. They're so cute. It's crazy. And anyways, we loves you. And you can no longer buy products via the website, but if you'd like to buy a tote bag or whatever, just send a DM via the Instagram, which is the Dance and Stuff Show.
I don't understand what's happening, actually.
Jack and Jeremy have taking a break forever.
Hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Probably.
And what happened? Why?
They were done now, for now.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, Jack basically needed to not do it anymore so that he could, like, refocus and, like, do his own work.
Got it. By the way, I famously don't listen to Dance and Stuff.
Neither does Jack.
Because I talk to Reed every day, so.
Yeah. We'd have nothing to talk about if she listened. So, that's what's going on.
Okay.
They, Jeremy and Jack said, if you want to keep going, here's the passwords for the Anchor, for the Squarespace, for the this. I said, okay. And so I went through tutorials with Jeremy last week. He showed me how to upload episodes, etc. And then I did some of the editing for last week's episode and like put it in the Anchor thing and like kind of couldn't believe it when it came out on Friday.
Incredible.
So we'll see if I can figure it out again this week.
Okay.
It's only Monday today, so I have the whole week to figure it out.
You're going to do it.
Do you believe in me?
I do.
Well, Jeremy will help me if I'm failing. So we always have Jeremy as a backup. Jeremy, are you listening to the podcast?
Hey, Jeremy.
Thanks for publishing and editing and making a brand identity for 200 episodes of the podcast that...
Wow.
I know. Can you believe it?
I can't.
If nobody listens to this podcast anymore, it's okay. I'll probably just keep doing it for my own sake.
Yeah, it's like journaling.
It's absolutely journaling. If I didn't do it, there'd be no record of my life, because it's certainly not in my brain.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do it with you just to be journaling myself.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye. We loves you. Bye.